Hey, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Everybody okay? Huh? How was your weekend? Welcome to the program. You'll notice we didn't start out with Hare Krishna chants. If you want to know what happened, just go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the little blog section. I watched some of the video today of Barack Obama's meeting with George Bush, and I have to say, Barack Obama owned his ass. It was incredible, wasn't it? Huh? Bush just seems to be, I don't know, some way, it's very neutral. I don't know. I've never been able to figure Bush out. I don't like him. I think he's disgusting what he's done to the country, but I can't figure out what motivates this guy. How can someone be this amoral? Nothing seems to bother him because he has no moral sense, no moral direction, and certainly no ethics. But watching the body language between these two today, it was very clear who owned whom. Kind of a reverse thing on the slavery bit, right? Huh? How many times you hear today the White House is built by slaves, and here's Barack Obama showing up to take over the reins of government. But what I was more interested in was who is the master and who is the slave today. And I don't think there was any doubt. Barack Obama owned George Bush's bony ass. It was very clear. It started right away as soon as Barack Obama and Michelle Obama got out of the limo. And with the hand shaking, and Barack reaches over with his left hand and puts it on Bush, which can be very intimidating or very controlling. And I think to Bush it was both. And then as they walked down the side of the portico or whatever the hell it is, that walk that they take to the Oval Office to go in the side door, same thing. Obama puts his hand on Bush. And I like that. I thought that was really, really cool. Really cool. Because Barack Obama is making it very clear to George that his day is over. And the hand on the body is kind of a gentle reminder that the door is over there. Don't let it hit you in the ass on your way out. In the meantime, I'll be nice to you because I still have two more months to get through before you're gone. So I just thought it was cool. I thought it was very cool. I did get a little bit over hearing the breaking news bulletins all day long about Obama going to visit the freak. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it happens every 4 years, or in some instances every 8. The outgoing administration makes space for the incoming administration to sit down and have a little jawbone. The only thing that was a bit upsetting, and A.E. writes in about this, he says, Mike, it appears the incoming administration is planning on maintaining a friendly, bipartisan, we'll get to that a little bit later, relationship with the outgoing administration. There would be no serious investigation of misdeeds or damage done to the Constitution and the nation. The transition would be smooth, resulting in business as usual. On to the future, no looking back. Bush is passing on to Obama a much strengthened presidency. Well, I don't know yet, AE. Let's just give it a little bit of time here. We don't know yet. Before we get into the heart and soul of this program, I was watching Keith Olbermann's countdown tonight and his special comment towards the end where he was talking about the vote against to take away human rights in California, which to me was also as astonishing. I'm not nearly as eloquent as Keith Olbermann, but his statement tonight, his special comment tonight, really resonated with me, and I'm sure it'll wind up on YouTube or at democraticunderground.com, all over the net, probably eventually. Probably very quickly, because it was straight from the heart, and he asked some very salient questions, pertinent questions, about what kind of a religion denies, this was kind of a subtext, but it was there, what kind of a religion denies love? You know, what? of course, I could answer him, and my answer would be just about every religion on earth. Just about. There's a little, I've got the door open a crack. They all deny love. A love between humans. The love is all supposed to be, you know, deity-centered, which is arrogance beyond belief, but the choice is yours. believer. If you don't believe that, your ass will be condemned to eternal whatever is in the Holy Writ. Snakes, scorpions, spiders, fires, torture, death, destruction, you know, whatever. But Overman's statement got me thinking about all the people in California, and I know a lot of people are claiming now, well, I didn't know what I was voting for. Well, then you should have left it blank. But all the people in California who voted to deny simple happiness to other people, and to do it actively. I mean, they didn't have to vote for anything. What they were doing was voting against something. The law's already, you know, the Supreme Court has already ruled in California that same-sex marriages are legal because there's this little item called the state constitution. And if that doesn't work, excuse me, there is the U.S. Constitution that has a clause in there about equal protection under the law. So why cast a vote to take away from people the right to form a loving partnership? I'm so sick of this issue, I could just dig my own eyeballs out. I can't believe sometimes the depth of contempt and ugliness and hatred. It's just an endless well of it that exists inside people who claim to be religious. It's astonishing to me. When was the last time you heard of atheists or humanists suggesting a referendum that would deny people human rights? When was the last time, huh? I can answer it for you. Never. You've never heard that. You've never heard a non-religious organization or person say, let me go down the list. Who can we screw over today in the name of our sick, twisted God? Who can we get today? Are we still working on the queers? Okay, let's go for the queers again. No, you don't hear that. You don't hear that with atheists. You don't hear that with secular humanists. You never do. It's always kind of like, look, we're all here. We have this flash of consciousness from birth to death. It's very quick. In some instances, it's really quick. But there is oblivion before and oblivion after. So why do this? I mean, why initiate action like this? Will it make your God happy if you deny his creatures, your fellow human beings, the right to happiness? He created them, you dumbasses, according to your own holy writ. He created them, or she, or it, not you. You can't, what are you doing? Changing what God wrought. Are you out of your freaking minds? Don't you know what's waiting for you in your imagined hell? For doing this, you're tampering with God's creation. You're saying, well, God screwed up on that one. So, tell you what, I'm going to vote to deny him rights. You know, meanwhile, your God is sitting up there probably going, you're going to do what? Oh, wait till I get my hands around your scrawny neck. I don't understand you religious people. I used to think I did. But I don't anymore. I haven't for a long time. I don't understand your wars, your hatreds, your fears, your contempt for your fellow human beings. I don't understand it. I don't understand your believing that Jesus wants no capital gains taxes. What the hell is that? I can't believe what you believe. It's astonishing to me. I used to think that there might be some sort of basis for what you believe in that was otherworldly. And now I realize there is. It's not otherworldly. It's right here. It's your fear. It's your contempt. It's your lousy disposition. It's your utter disdain for your fellow human beings. I wish you all, I truly do, I wish you all would rapture wherever the hell you're going to go and leave the planet alone. You've screwed everything up. For the past, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 years, you continue to screw it up. I don't get you people. I just don't get you.
Love. Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one
cleaning
without
up
the
America,
other.
One flying monkey at a time. It's
marriage,
Mike Malloy.
Love and marriage.
Well, I've got a lot of help.
An institute you can't.
It's about 21 and a half past the hour. In addition to the vote against love between people that the Christian right engineered with their ballot initiatives in a couple of states, you know, to stop same-sex people from expressing affection, attraction, love for each other. In addition to that, I think we should note that in Arkansas, the right-wingers decided that even children should be burned on their pyre of hatred, even children. And this is one of the reasons I truly despise just every single aspect of the Christian faith as it's practiced in this country. You notice I'm putting some qualifiers. As it's practiced in this country and as it's promoted by the so-called Christian right. You people are demons. You are evil demons. Children in Arkansas now have to feel the lash of these sick bastards. In addition to the anti-gay sentiment in Arkansas, there is also the fact that Barack Obama had dark skin. And the opposition to his candidacy is what observers now think helped so-called conservatives pass a measure in Arkansas blocking the adoption of children by unmarried couples. The measure was overwhelmingly approved last Tuesday, and it prevents unmarried couples who are living together from adopting or fostering children, being foster parents. You sick bastards, you. The ban affects all unmarried couples, but was written with the intent, you see, of preventing gay couples from raising children together in Arkansas. You filthy bastards, you. Children, you'll stop at nothing. You crawl across the street and wail on street corners about fetuses, but actual children, you would just as soon burn them to death. What's to happen with the children in Arkansas who desperately need foster parents or adoptive parents? What's to happen? According to, was it in the Times? There are more children needing parental care, foster parents or adoptive parents, than there are people, even before this vicious piece of hate legislation passed, than there are people to provide it. So you so-called Christian sons of bitches, you voted to deny children a home. You want them to stay where, you pigs? In institutions, right? Orphanages, collective homes, wherever. You're so disgusting. You're so disgusting. Because Barack Obama was on the ticket. You came out in droves to vote for McCain. As a matter of fact, McCain won your pissy state by 20 points. In 2004, Bush only won the state by 9 points. So I'm not talking about all you Democrats in Arkansas now. You know who you are. A lot of people say, Malloy, I don't know how you can live in Georgia. Okay, I'm going to turn that around tonight and say, I don't know how good-thinking people, and there are a lot of them in Arkansas, can stand to stay there. Your racism came through, you pigs. Your anti-child attitude is finally there for the whole world to see. Your anti-gay attitude. What the hell are you in favor of? You don't want same-sex couples to be in love, and you don't want children to feel the love of people that may happen not to be married or may happen to be same-sex. You evil, evil people. It's just unspeakable. Unspeakable. A political science professor at Hendricks College in Conway, Arkansas, said, quote, I think white Arkansas Democrats felt cross-pressured in this race. They didn't want to vote for what they viewed as Bush's third term, but they also couldn't bring themselves to vote for Barack Obama. Those aren't Democrats. Those are racist, pointy-head Klan jackasses. Those aren't Democrats. Democrats don't think that way. Democrats don't do that. Racist punk asses do. Cowards, night riders. Can't go vote for Barack Obama because he's got dark skin. So I'll just, I can't vote for Bush. So I'm just going to stay home. In the meantime, the mouth-breathing Christians all went out and voted to deny the presidency to a man who has a very good chance of cleaning up the mess this filthy Republican Party has done, and also to deny a home to children. What do you want to do with them, you people? Huh? You want to burn them alive? Would that be good? How about just dig a big hole in the ground and throw them all in and cover them up? Would that be good? I've got some more on this when we come back. If you don't want to hear it, I can understand.
And I am guilty, I am war, and I am the root of all evil. Lord, and I can't drive on the left side of the road. This is a hard life, it's a hard life, a very hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hatred, in the hard life, it's all that we'll go. And there ain't no place in this world for these kids to go. Hard life forever you go.
You are on the road.
Doing talk radio right.
Must
from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy.
That you can live by. And so become yourself.
26 before the hour,
the
and I'm reminded in an email that during the campaign that Barack Obama came out against same-sex marriage also. I can almost understand how people can have an opinion about something, even if it is based in bigotry. But when people take that opinion outside of their own mind and organize with other people of the same mindset and pass laws to take rights away from people, then it becomes a bit different, don't you think? I don't like mint chocolate ice cream. I hate the taste of mint chocolate ice cream, but I'm not going to go out and legislate or attempt to legislate to have it removed from the store shelves, right? I know that's a crappy analogy, but so what? I'm also hoping where it concerns Barack Obama that maybe he understood that if he did state his case in favor of human rights, be one more reason for the right-wing mouth breathers in this country to go after him, which we're going to cover a little bit tonight, too. The effort against Barack Obama was stunning, the lies. But back to the thing about Arkansas, where a referendum was passed saying that unmarried couples cohabiting or cohabitating, what is it, cohabitating, cannot adopt or even be foster children of foster parents. And I think how the religious right, the Christians in Arkansas, worked their bleeding asses off to get that passed. And they did. They amounted to a grassroots campaign through church groups that framed the state's case-by-case approach to adoption requests as an affront to traditional family values. In other words, prior to the passing of this referendum in Arkansas, if there was a child that needed foster care and there was a couple or a single person or an unmarried couple available, they would be checked out, I guess, to see if they had a history of abuse or if they were stable, and the child would be placed. Or if people would apply to adopt a child, married or unmarried, living in together unmarried or whatever. It would be a case-by-case basis. And the Christian right, so-called, because they're not Christian and they're totally wrong, in Arkansas said that that was an affront to traditional family values. What traditional family values are they talking about? See, this is a part that drives me insane. I can walk into any church in the United States, and I bet you that at least 30, 40, 50% of the people sitting there, the couples, are divorced and remarried. What traditional family values are you people talking about? They're not family values. They're bigotry, stupidity, asininity, prejudice, ugliness, hate, immorality. I don't care how you dress it up. A pig is still a pig. But anyway, there's a guy there named Jerry Cox in Arkansas, president of the Family Council Action Committee. He and his group of haters went out and got 95,000 signatures in order to get the proposal on state ballots. Here's what he said, quote, "We believe that the best place for a child to grow up is in a stable home with a married mother and father. But we also believe in blunting a gay agenda that we see at work in other states with regard to marriage and adoption issues." You dirty bastards. You dirty, cowardly, child-murdering bastards. You know, there's more ways to murder a child than through car wrecks and gunshots. You can also murder a child emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. And that's what you do, Jerry. That's what you and your band of filthy, filthy people, that's what you've done. But you don't care. And I like the statement he made when the vote was counted. He said, quote, "I was very surprised that our margin of victory was as wide as it was. Our campaign was primarily grassroots. The opposition was primarily a media campaign. They did everything they should have done to win, but we won. We won." So, how many children in Arkansas tonight, you filthy bastard? How many that could have a loving home, that could have, that could be adopted, that could be in foster care? And I know foster care is kind of like, oh God, but sometimes it beats the hell out of an institution. How many children are sitting in the darkness tonight because of you, Jerry Cox? You filthy Christ killer. And that's what you are. Because Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And when you do what you did, Jerry, you and your corrupt organization, to deny children a loving home, you are spitting on the cross. You are ripping Jesus' head off. You are blaspheming the very religion that you say is your guiding force. Shame on you. Shame on you. Arkansas has three times as many children who need homes as people willing to adopt or foster them. Oh, one last thing. A survey in October by the University of Arkansas found that 55% of voters, whatever that means, 55% in the state opposed this piece of Christ-hating legislation. But conservatives ratcheted up their lobbying before the election, distributed 350,000 inserts in church bulletins, and the measure passed with nearly 57% of the vote. If you're listening in Arkansas and you voted in any manner, way, shape, or form to support this, shame on you. I wish you would turn off your radio and never listen to my program again, because the negativity that is just radiating out of your head and that part of your chest where your heart should be might come through the airwaves and poison me. Take your poison to church on Sunday and sing your little hymns and continue doing what you're doing. You people turn my stomach. You just turn my stomach. You ever notice how after Republicans get their asses handed to them in an election, they start whining and whimpering about bipartisanship? You ever notice that? All the conservative calls right now for the Obama administration to show bipartisanship. A couple of days ago, there were two columns in the New York Times, The Obama Agenda by Paul Krugman and Change I Can Believe In by David Brooks. Krugman being a progressive and Brooks being kind of a Republican you can live with, a conservative. I wouldn't call him Republican, a conservative you can live with. And they were both praising Barack Obama, but from different points of view. Brooks' column was a good example of how the conservatives always start whining for bipartisanship when he was talking about working together to be successful in the agenda that Barack Obama has at least laid out rhetorically. And Brooks doesn't find anything particularly wrong with it. I think the reason Brooks gets along, so to speak, with Obama is because they're both intellectuals. And Brooks, as brilliant as he is in his writing, and Barack Obama, as brilliant as he is in his political career, and in addition to his private life, I think that's where the common thread is for David Brooks. But you got to wonder, where was all the kumbaya in 2000 and 2004 when Bush stole two elections? In the first one, by five votes, there were only five votes that mattered out of the 100 million cast. And in 2004, when Bush and his operatives stole it a second time, even then, what did Bush get? 51% of the vote, and he started talking about he had capital to spend now. He and his criminals started acting as though they had a mandate in both elections. They stole the first one and stole the second one, but acted as though they had a mandate. Any talk of reaching across the aisle or working in a bipartisan mode wasn't even brought up for discussion. That's not what Republicans do. Republicans whine and grovel around on their bellies like whipped dogs when they've been defeated. But when they cheat and somehow come out as apparent winners, even though they must always cheat, that's the only way Republicans can win. When they do cheat and appear to be the winners, then the attitude regarding bipartisanship is, spit. You know, they're not the least bit interested. They laugh at it. They laugh at it. Ah, bipartisanship. You're out of your mind. Get out of here. Do you remember hearing conservatives hoping that Bush would appoint Democrats to key positions and invite Democratic leaders to the White House? On either of the occasions in the past 8 years when the Bush crime family stole the presidency, do you remember hearing any of that? No, I don't either. I don't either. They are exclusionary. They're ideologically driven. And they're tone deaf, Republicans, conservatives. They don't give a goddamn about anything except their little tight agenda. I wish the talk about bipartisanship would be tossed in a hole someplace and covered over with cow dung.
Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
I'm gonna leave the city, got to get away.
It is 10 before the hour. The really ugly stuff that was turned out on Barack Obama. I guess what you and I are supposed to do now, what the rest of the country, I'm not talking about the people that voted for more torture, more death, more destruction, more economic failures. Screw those people. I'm talking about the rest of us, the relatively normal people who voted for Barack Obama, who voted for progressive change. We'll see what we get. You know, you never know when you vote. We'll see what we get. But at least we voted from a positive perspective. forward-thinking position. So let's see how it works out. But what are we supposed to do with the residue of the poison that the Republicans dumped into our political system once again? I mean, my God, Barack Obama was anti-American. He was a friend of the terrorists. And now he's going to be the president. And remember a few weeks ago when Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota was on Hardball and said that when it came to Obama, quote, I'm very concerned that he may have anti-American views, end quote. But there she was on Wednesday. She got reelected, which blows me away. But she was saying she was, quote, extremely grateful that we have an African-American who has won this year, end quote. She's extremely grateful that we have. Now, I don't know where to begin with that statement. It is bursting with racism and white arrogance to begin with. Oh, we have an African American this year. Yeah, last year we had a Chinese American. A couple of weeks before that, years before that, we had a dog. This year we have an African American. Oh. What a pig this woman is. Another one of these Christian, phony Christians. She called Obama's victory, quote, a tremendous signal we sent, end quote. We? You rancid bitch. What are you talking about? We? You were challenging his fealty to the country, to the Constitution. And now she says, oh, a tremendous signal we sent. Oh, my God. But anyway, Michelle Bachmann is extremely grateful that I guess that means the white people, we now have an African-American. Hey, I got one. Do you got one? Huh? Does he got one? Does she got one? Huh? We got an African-American. Hot damn. Oh, boy. I can't wait. What about Sarah Palin? How long ago was it when she accused Obama of palling around with terrorists? Huh? So, you know, I don't know about you, Truth Seeker, but I've said before on this program, I'll say it again, I am not a compromiser or forgiving person. I just can't do it. It is not in my makeup to be forgiving. Oh, I can forgive if somebody, you know, parks in front of my driveway. But when someone suggests that I hate the country or they're going to pray me into hell because of my belief, or that, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm to, when the election's over, I'm to kick back and then say, oh, hey, listen, no hard feelings. No, plenty of hard feelings. I like to punch every one of you right square in your mouths. You know, I really would. Especially some of the just incredibly stupid, misspelled, nasty emails that I've gotten from people. Because the point of view on this program was, goddamn the haters and the Republicans, and let's try to get rid of them and get some people in who have the country at heart. But all of a sudden, about Obama, the shift apparently follows that what the New York Times, or is it the Washington Post, referred to McCain's magnanimous concession speech. Remember that? When he referred to Obama's victory as a historic election and hailed the special pride it held for African Americans. And then Biden had to get into the act. During the campaign, Biden said he no longer recognized that McCain, recognized McCain as an old friend. And now, of course, he says, quote, we're still friends. We're still friends. Really, Joe? You're still friends with somebody like John McCain? I don't get you people. Is it just a great game where the emotions and the psychological makeup of the 300 million of us out here who are not in the political realm, where you just jerk us around every 2 years, every 4 years with this filthy rhetoric? Is that all it is? Is it just a joke? If it is, then to hell with it. You know what I'm saying? So, why the change? Well, it's been suggested. Doris Kearns Goodwin, who is an historian and writes about presidential historian, I guess would be her proper title, She said, quote, "The best answer I can give you is that they, the right-wingers, don't want to be on the wrong side of history. And they recognize how the country saw this election and how people feel that they're living in a time of great historic moment." And Chris Lehane, a former Democratic strategist who worked on Gore's campaign, said, quote, "My experience is it's less an epiphany and more a political reality. I'm thinking they will continue in this direction so long as the polls indicate it's a smart place to be." You know, the direction being, oh, kumbaya, we're all in this together. Yes, bipartisanship, bipartisanship. And then there's Lieberman, right? Lieberman, who is trying. I mean, he has so much brown around his lips from kissing ass in the past couple of weeks. It's almost embarrassing. But he's out there. Any place he can go, can I kiss your ass, please, Mr. Senator Reed? Anybody, I'll kiss anybody's ass to get back into the club, please, please. May I do that, huh? Lieberman. Now, remember, it was Lieberman who said the race was, quote, between one candidate, John McCain, who has always put the country first, and one candidate who is not, end quote. And now he wants to, oh, forgive, let's forgive. You know, Hadassah will kill me if I'm unemployed. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. We're talking about how these creepy, disgusting Republicans now are groveling around in the muck, seeking bipartisanship from the Democrats who have thoroughly and completely kicked their ass, and it's going to be even worse 2 years from now during the midterm elections. But it's amazing to watch this. You know, when the Republicans seize control illegally by cheating, by caging voters, by doing all the nastiness that they do, and they come out just a hair ahead, then they start screaming about they have a mandate. And the idea by, remember the last time bipartisanship came up in one area, and just got an email reminding me of this. Remember the nuclear option? Remember that? They weren't talking about war. That was the Republicans said that if the Democrats refused to do what the Republicans said in the Congress, the Republicans would unleash the nuclear option. Remember that? And now these cowardly, defeated sons of bitches have the audacity to start talking about bipartisanship? Well, they'll get it. I think Barack Obama is the type of leader who can look past the weakness of every single Republican. And I think there are still a few people left in the Republican Party, I don't know why they're there, who are in positions of legislative power or have a few remaining leadership qualities. These are Republicans who eventually would be drummed out of the Republican Party because the Republican Party is a nest of vipers, snakes, weaklings, and whiners who saturate themselves with the shroud of Turin and walk around acting as though they're Christian. So these Republicans would soon be out. So Barack Obama may reach out to a couple of them, not from a bipartisan point of view, but from trying to find people to help clean up the garbage dump that the Republicans have turned this country into. Bipartisanship. Now, back to Lieberman. He, you know, his insinuations that Barack Obama would not put the country first. You expect that from McCain. McCain's a psychopath. Sarah Palin is a hoe. But Lieberman, who should have known better, he should have known better. But he's an opportunist. He's a loser. He's a whiny ass. He makes the statement, so many statements that were made that were so negative against Democrats, against Barack Obama, against people who love this country. Joe Lieberman didn't care. He just didn't care. I don't know what his goal was with McCain. Did Lieberman think he was going to be made Secretary of State or something? What was it that Lieberman thought he was going to get out of walking around being such an ever-present little shadow behind McCain? What was it? I have no idea. Don't care. But this week, Lieberman, who was asked last week by the Senate leadership, the Democrats, to consider giving up his position as the chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, he released a statement, Lieberman did, congratulating Obama for, quote, his historic and impressive victory, end quote. And the statement went on, quote, the American people are a people of extraordinary fairness, end quote. About what, Lieberman? About you? That's all you're capable of talking about, is how it relates to you. You remind me of Hillary Clinton that way. A spokesman for Lieberman, some freak named Marshall Whitman, said that as far as Senator Lieberman was concerned, quote, it's over, and it's genuinely time to find unity and move forward behind the new president, end quote. Unity? And what about the whole bit about Obama not always putting his country first? Here's what Whitman said, quote, he believes that President-elect Obama, and then Senator Obama, is a genuine patriot who loves this country. The only point he was making in his campaign was about partisanship, end quote. What? Like I said, I'm not the least bit forgiving about stuff like this. I would tell Lieberman to get out of town. I would say, caucus with us? Get out of here, you scum sucker. Go over there with the Jesus freaks. They'd love to have you. And when that great getting up morning comes, don't forget, Joe, that the first person to put a sword to your throat will be a Christian fundamentalist like Sarah Palin or George W. Bush. But you made your bed, dude. Go lay in it. Or lie in it. Lie, lay, I don't care. Now, as far as the attacks on Obama, we have in this country a nest of evil people that are more of a threat to our way of self-government, our way of life, than anything any totalitarian regime has ever thrown at us or threatened to throw at us. Because these people live here, they have U.S. citizenship, they are white, they go to church, they have children in school, they shop at Walmart or Kmart or wherever the hell they shop. In other words, they look just like an average American. But they are evil to the core. Ken Silverstein, writing in November Harper's, tracks some of these vermin down. And he says, in the sheer numbers of scurrilous charges leveled against Barack Obama and of individuals involved in advancing these charges, it seems safe to describe the smear campaign against Barack Obama as unparalleled. Through often anonymous email campaigns, partisans have claimed that Obama's birth certificate shows he's not a natural-born citizen and was therefore ineligible for the presidency. And when the Obama campaign, by the way, produced the birth certificate, the nutballs quickly declared it was a forgery. They said he was sworn into the U.S. Senate using the Quran. Viral emails offer bogus quotes from his books. This is supposed to be in his book. Quote, I found a solace in nursing a pervasive sense of grievance and animosity against my mother's race, end quote. And, quote, I will stand with the Muslims should the political wind shift in an ugly direction, end quote. And none of which he ever wrote. The claim that since joining the Senate, he's proposed a whole slew of new taxes, including tax increases on, quote, things like water, end quote. Factcheck.org, a nonpartisan group, concluded that the email about his new taxes was so full of misinformation that we find it impossible to believe that it is a result of simple ignorance or carelessness on the part of the writer. Almost nothing it says about Obama's tax proposals is true. And they're still doing it. Here in Georgia, this piece of human waste, Saxby Chambliss, who is the current Republican senator, and he's in a runoff with Jim Martin, the Democrat. Chambliss is still in his ads that are saturating the airwaves now, talking about Obama's going to tax this and going to tax that and going to tax this. It's lies. In videos circulating on the Internet, Obama was derided as not only unpatriotic, but a terrorist sympathizer, a black radical, an America hater, a closet Muslim. Political action committees and so-called independent groups have produced some of the hundreds of anti-Obama videos. An outfit called the American Issues Project created an ad linking Obama to William Ayers. Remember, look at the legs that had. The sole donor to that project is a billionaire in Dallas named Harold Simmons, who was a bundler for the McCain campaign, major donor to the group Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. That was the group that went after Kerry. Floyd Brown, a veteran Republican campaigner best known for having helped produce the 1988 Willie Horton TV ad against Dukakis, was using a political committee called the National Campaign Fund to produce online videos that said Barack Obama would promote gang crime, you know, because he's black, right? There's more here. Stick around.
I'm so carefree with a joyless heart. And sometimes again it seems all I have is words. Then you finally see my other side.
The pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So anyway, going back to what Ken Silverstein has in the current issue, or the November issue of Harper's, before the election was decided, he writes that the sponsorship of some online anti-Obama videos has been deliberately obscured. But some journalists digging around in this pile of cow dung of these right wingers trace some of them to well-connected sources. The closing frame of one especially popular video from last March, titled "Is Obama Right?" with a W, which cuts between images of Obama and his former pastor Jeremiah Wright, says the video was, quote, presented by N-Hale Media. Hale Media, end quote. But there is no such entity. The video was co-produced in a home studio in Oxford, Mississippi, by a guy named Lee Habib, who is a former producer of the Laura Ingraham Show, that right-wing screamer, and the director of strategic content at Salem Broadcasting. Huh? How about that? Salem Broadcasting Network. Hey! Similarly, when the website ObamaTruth.org launched last year, it provided no information about who was running it. But a veteran Chicago race baiter and political operative named Joe Novak, he's known as Low Blow Joe in Chicago, was found to own that particular domain. Now, the outpouring of amateur bile, which is only there thanks to YouTube, the amateurs who are putting stuff out there. Did you see the one that came out relatively early about some freakish piece of white flesh sitting there talking about he watched Obama have sex with a man in the back of his cab? Do you remember that? Huh? That kind of stuff. That's been immensely useful to the Republican machine in attacking Obama. Republican surrogates and operatives can sift through a whole laundry list of viral videos, forwarding along the ones most likely to energize the so-called party faithful and generate fears about Obama. They can do this to anybody, and they do. These are the kind of swine who should be removed from the society.
Oh, but Mike, what about free speech?
Given a choice, remove these scum. Throw them away. They're doing nothing to promote the idea of free speech and everything to promote the idea of hate speech. These people need to be removed from society. Let them go somewhere. I'm not saying kill them, although, no, I'm not saying kill them. Put them on an island somewhere, like the British did with the thugs and murderers and killers. Sent them all to Georgia, state of Georgia, and to a prison colony, penal colony, and in Australia. I'll do that to them. Get them out of here. Throw them away. They are subhuman. They're destroyers. Get them out of here. We don't need them. We don't want them. We don't want them. But this outpouring of amateur bile and all the stuff that's available now, or was available, it's still available on the Internet, which generates the party faithful and the base. Remember who they are. They're Christians, right? Yeah. The dominant themes pushed by these bloggers and activists and websites and talk radio, they percolate further, Silverstein writes, through cable TV and the punditry, and ultimately enter the mainstream conversation and become part of the broader campaign narrative. Now, you think about all the lies and garbage that wound up being talked about on MSNBC or CNN or ABC or CBS. All the garbage that started out on the web, these viral videos, lies, just terrible, terrible comments, statements, lies, deceptions by these so-called Christians. And since they come from the Internet, that their assertions can be false, racist, ugly. It doesn't matter because they get spread. I get tongue-tied. I get so damn angry. There's somebody named Jason Mitchell, the self-described Christian supremacist. He's 29 years old. He lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he also operates a company called Illuminati Pictures. Now, Jason Mitchell likes to go by the moniker Molotov. Molotov Mitchell. He's a producer that puts this garbage out. Earlier this year, he produced a video, what was titled A Video Portrait of Barack Hussein Obama. It was known more concisely as The Audacity. A 13-minute video with a voiceover by this piece of human waste. It has millions of combined views on YouTube and at something called iBlast TV, a project of the Conservative Media Research Center. I'll tell you what it says when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
As the years pass us by, will I still make the grade? Can I really? Can you cleanse me up, drive out the swine? Am I only falling, Father? Can you keep me safe from harm? The memories you build in the house on the hill, would you really change a thing? Correcting mistakes in a world full of hate never changes anything.
Mm-hmm.
mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Imagine if you're on a rather large life raft, your boat has been, your ship has been struck by a torpedo or something, and there's sharks all over in the water, and you're on this life raft with about 20 of the people that you're on the boat with, and the sole purpose is to stay alive. Because you know if you can stay alive, if the 20 of you can stay alive, and off in the distance you know there's land, and if you can just stay alive and get the land, you're going to be okay. And you have somebody on board this life raft with you who is just completely unacceptable. His behavior is putting the entire life raft full of people in jeopardy. He's jumping around. He's acting ridiculous. He's threatening people. He's spitting on people. He's, you know, in other words, he's going kind of berserk. So the other 19 of you have kind of a meeting inside this life raft, and you decide, well, we have to do something. Either we survive or we don't. This guy is going to make sure we all die. What are we going to do with this guy? Well, the decision is made. You throw him overboard and let the sharks eat him, and then everybody makes it to shore, and everything's cool. Is that a wrong action? Huh? If it benefits the greater good of the group, if it benefits the greater good of the group, isn't that referred to as utilitarianism, a philosophy of life that can make sense? If we apply it to the political realm in this country, there are certain people that need to be thrown off the life raft. The country's in trouble. I think it's still salvageable. I think we can still pull out of this. But there are certain people, Limbaugh's one of them, all these minor thugs that appear on talk radio, they should be thrown out of the life raft. Let the sharks eat them. I think it's time. I really do. And I think one of the ways I'm going to throw them out of the life raft is not to discuss them anymore. I'm really trying to get to that point because these people are vermin. You know who I'm referring to. All these right-wing, the bloggers, the filmmakers, the YouTube producers, the talk radio freaks, they're trying to destroy the country. And they're doing a damn good job of it. They need to be thrown out of the boat. They really, really do. In one of these videos that attacked Obama, they referred to him as a crypto-Muslim. And keep in mind, of course, that Muslim in this context, I'm not trying to offend people of that faith any more than I would offend you because I think your religion's crazy, the same way I think Christianity is crazy and most religions are crazy. But referring to him as a crypto-Muslim, that you see that the Muslims in this country now are like the Jews in Germany in the 30s. They are the religious group to be used as scapegoats, to be damned, to be tossed into some kind of a garbage heap. It's the Muslims' turn in this country. It was the Jews in Germany in the 30s. Now it's the Muslims here. But this one video put together by Media Research Center, so-called, repeatedly used Barack Obama's full name, you know, with the emphasis on the Hussein. And argued that Obama is the Islamic world's Manchurian candidate. Ann Coulter, this filthy bitch, said, quote, "It's shocking that he's going to be our next president," end quote. That's, she says, during a clip from a Fox News interview that flashes on screen during this video. And then shortly after Ann Coulter says that, there is a photograph of a masked jihadist holding a severed hostage's head. And the voiceover says, "For many, his name does raise the question, when we are at war with Islamic terrorism, can Americans elect a man with not one, not two, but three Islamic names?" End quote. And then the video turns its attention to Obama's supposed hatred for his own country. There's a list of so-called facts presented in bold letters, including that Obama refuses to wear the American flag as a pin. He has refused to place his hand over his heart during the national anthem. It goes on and on and on and on. It's in the November issue of Harper's. You should get it. You can probably get it online. Just go to harpers.org, harpers.com. Ken Silverstein's article entitled Useful Amateurs. I'll try to link it before the program's over tonight. Oh, man. These vermin are still out here, even though the American public voted in overwhelming numbers to the degree that another election couldn't be stolen, except in certain tight races. It appears that there's quite a bit of thievery did go on, millions of lost votes. I think in so many states that are so-called red would have gone for Obama had the votes not been flipped or stolen or caged. But this is kind of what we're stuck with until we finally purge our society of these people, throw them off the lifeboat, put them in with the sharks, and let them become supper. A decent society, a moral or an ethical society, really has no use for these kind of agitators. You like that word? That sounds almost like, wasn't Barack Obama an agitator? To hell with them. Throw them out. But they're still there, and they're gearing up. Not that there's going to be a pause. The attacks on Obama, the pig man has made it very clear, this piggish bastard, that his attacks are going to be relentless and unending. The lower echelon right-wing talk show hosts are going to continue. The videos will continue to be there. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, because what will be attempted is going to be a takeover of the House and the Senate in the midterm elections in 2 years. They need to be stopped. They need to be eliminated from the society. They need to be identified, publicized, and eliminated. They have to be if America is going to survive. As a representative democracy or a democratic republic, these people are seeking religious totalitarianism or religio-fascism or some kind. I'm not sure what it is anymore that they want. But they're convinced they can get it if they just keep the spigot on, keep the poison pouring onto the rest of us. And I say it's time to stop. And this whole crew, I mean, they range from Joe Lieberman all the way out to the extreme neo-Nazis on the right. Lieberman is just as bad, because Lieberman is almost worse. You can write off these neo-Nazis as nutbags until you see how they influence an election. But Lieberman had a position of power. A senator, for God's sake. A former vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket. So for Lieberman to say that of the two candidates, one always focused on what was best for the country and the other didn't, is horrifying. It's just unbelievable. Lieberman belongs with these right-wing haters. That's where he belongs. That's where he feels at home. He's demonstrated that. But Obama, being the person that he is, I'm sure, will probably let it go. I read something today that Obama last week, I think, already said to Harry Reid that he didn't want to see Joe Lieberman tossed out of the Democratic caucus, even though he has no business being there. So, whatever Obama wants is what Obama will get. He is the titular head of the party. I'm sure Reid will not go against what Obama wants. And, of course, that's one of the 7 trillion reasons that Barack Obama is president, and I'm not, because I don't believe in reconciliation. I believe in politics. I believe if you defeat your enemy, put them to the sword immediately, because if you don't, next time here they come again. You tell me what philosopher said that several hundred years ago. Huh? Was he Chinese? Was he Italian? You know who I'm talking about. You don't give your political or your military adversary a second chance. You just don't. Unless that's your makeup. I mean, if you want to do that, okay, go ahead. But as far as I'm concerned, this election was decided with a mandate for this Democratic presidential nominee. It's been decided. Politics is a zero-sum game. You win everything, you lose everything. One of the two. Barack Obama has won everything. The Republicans and the so-called conservatives and the religious right fruitcakes have lost everything. That should be abundantly clear. So it's time to get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Especially those of them who exist and are paid just mountains of cash to poison this country in so-called right-wing talk radio, neo-Nazi talk radio. They have got to be removed.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're going to try to squeeze in a couple of sound clips here from Too Much Cappuccino Perino press briefing today. We haven't had her on for a long time, primarily because we think she's a freak. There's no point in putting that garbage out there. But what the hell, for comic relief, and the party's almost over for this ditzy broad anyway. But when we come back, last hour of the program, we're going to take your phone calls. We'll open the lines during the top of the hour break, so you can call in if you like. I'd like to get your take on this, reaching across the aisle nonsense and bipartisanship horse crap. You know, if you've been listening any part of the last 2 hours, you know my position. Oh no. Especially not with Republicans. They are swine and scum, and they need to be marginalized and then pushed out the door or thrown out of the lifeboat, or however you want to put it. But the answer to that one is a huge no. Check back with me in 30 years, and maybe I'll be open at that point for some kind of reconciliation, which is funny because I won't be alive in 30 years, but you know what I'm saying. For the 30-year-olds who are alive now and who hate these pig bastards as much as I do, check back with them in 30 years and see if maybe by then if this kumbaya crap might fly. But as far as I'm concerned right now, oh no, oh no, oh no. Not now, not next month, not ever. Just get out of town, Republicans. You tried to destroy the country and you damn near did it. All right, it's been a while since we've heard from Spinderella, and it seems incredible that she's speaking even faster now than in the months past, if that's possible. Today, the focus on Barack Obama's first visit to the White House. Reporter said, Dana, in terms of generally characterizing the tone of the meeting between the president and the president-elect would be like, is this more of a sort of welcome to the White House, this is what it's like and what you can expect, and you know, or are they going to be discussing specific issues and hot spots and that kind of thing?
If I had a crystal ball, I could tell you. I just don't know. I'm sure that they'll talk about a range of issues. And Obviously, there's the Mrs. Obama and Mrs. Bush meeting, which is going to talk about how they will make their life here and how they will make the house a home and all the help that they will be at their disposal in order for them to do that. And then the president and the president-elect will have a chance to talk. I'm sure they'll talk about a range of issues. I'll try to get you something later, but it's just very private, and I'm sure that this won't be the only time that they speak. I'm sure that between our staffs and also between the two of them that we'll talk on the way forward. I know one thing that the president will want to talk about is what he's been talking about in the phone call he had with the president-elect and in his radio address and in the two statements he gave to you all last week, which is the transition of power this time around is so critically important, one, in regards to the economy, and two, in regards to the attacks, the threat of attack that we currently live under.
Oh, yeah, never forget the attacks. Danger, danger, terror, terror everywhere. Don't forget the attacks. Don't forget the attacks. And the economy, both of which, Dana, your boss has caused, exacerbated, and as long as the son of a bitch is in office, it will continue. One more on the subject of Obama's visit and the transition of power. Lava Lips here goes into hyperdrive in her praise of Raisin Brain. So listen up. This is like a sparrow on helium. The reporter says there's a lot of heated rhetoric on the campaign trail. Not to belabor the point, but how does that affect the dynamic when, you know, the president obviously understands, I know he's a politician, understands full well what it's like on the campaign trail, but could you just elaborate a bit on how the heated rhetoric...
It's always amazed me how President Bush is able to let heated rhetoric like that just slide off his back and move forward and do what he thinks is right for the country. Obviously, right now, the most important thing we can do is ensure a smooth transition to Barack Obama and his team. And that's what he's committed to doing. And he just lets those things go, and it will be focused on helping their next team have what they need. I think it's probably something that's hard for all of us to understand, but President Bush has been involved in politics since the mid-60s when he watched his father run for Congress, and then their whole political life has been about a rough-and-tumble campaign. This president was not involved in the campaign. We studiously stayed out of it, even when it was very hard for us sometimes to let attacks go unanswered. But we did that because he thought it was the right thing to do for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And now, in the next few weeks, I think he'll be able to see us revisit some of those issues and put a marker down for history of what this president stood for and why he made the decisions that he did.
No, I can't wait to see where those markers go. Bush staying out of the campaign, that was that the Republicans begged him to. Republicans all around the country are trying to pretend like they were Democrats, Dana. And what's this? Bush has been involved in politics since the mid-60s when he watched his father run for Congress. Really? Through that haze of Jack Daniels and cocaine? Oh, this is my father up there. And she starts out, she said, always amazed me how President Bush is able to heed a rhetoric slide off his back. Well, it's because he's a drug-addled sociopath. He only listens to the violent murmurs of Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, and the monstrous Dick Cheney. Good God, could this woman talk any faster? She obviously has switched over to the dark side and is fully engaged with methamphetamine. It's because of people like her that when I buy, what is that, Mucinex? Mucinex D. I have to fill out a goddamn card that has my name, address, phone number, social security number, height, weight, date of birth, because it has pseudoephedrine in it. It's because of people like her. Crazy nut. All right, we have one more for you when we come back, and we'll take your phone calls. If if you want to call, I may have just totally freaked you out tonight. I'm not in the mood for any reconciliation with any Republicans on any level. Office holders, people down the street, the Jesus killers, none of you. No reconciliation. It's time to throw your asses out of the lifeboat and let the sharks eat you. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. George sent me an email. He said, I found this on a comment board at Alternet. And it's this: if religion is the opiate of the masses, fundamentalism is the crack cocaine. Cheap, readily available, highly addictive, and very dangerous. Yeah, really. All right, last one from Too Much Cappuccino Perino at her press briefing today. What does President Bunny Pants think of the plan Obama has to reverse some of his executive orders and even close down Gitmo? Reporter says, Dana, what does the president think about hearing John Podesta talk about a range of executive orders and ready to reverse administration policy on so many things basically right away?
Well, every president has the prerogative to change policies. That's nothing unusual. That happened in our administration, too. And what I will tell you is that policies that this president has made have been carefully considered. All of the due diligence has been done on a range of these issues. Our regulations that we put forward through executive order or through the rulemaking process have been carefully considered and have checked all the boxes when it comes to the due diligence that are required for all of them.
Okay. Another specific that's been talked about is trials for detainees in Guantanamo Bay inside the U.S. You've spent a lot of time at that podium. The president has talked about this a lot, about the danger of that potentially happening. What about that prospect? Immediately.
I don't know what their plans are. I do think it's interesting that for a couple of years, we've been seeing reported in the press that it would just be easy just to close Guantanamo Bay, and we've tried very hard to explain to people how complicated it is. When you pick up people off the battlefield that have a terrorist background,
it's not just
so easy to let them go. We've tried to repatriate many of them back to their homes. We've gone from about 655 detainees down to about 250 now. We continue to try to repatriate them to places that we know that they will be safe and that they'll be kept from harming others. About 7% of the detainees that we've returned to their home countries have actually struck again. Some have been recaptured. One of them could not be recaptured because he was a suicide bomber who killed 40 people in Mosul. These issues are complicated.
Well, if he was a suicide bomber and he killed 40 people in Mosul, how do you know that it was the same guy that you released from your little detention center down in Guantanamo? And, you know, you've tried very hard to explain to people how complicated it is. I'll tell you, here's all you have to do, Dana. Just take everybody out of Guantanamo, blow the place up, bring them all home here, and let them all stand trial. But you say, you know, you started from 655 detainees down to about 250 now. And how many trials have you had? One, two, huh? How many? What does that mean? 450 people that you were arrested were innocent, and they didn't come off of a battlefield. There was no battlefield. Remember, they are what are they called? Unregistered combatants, or what was the term that enemy combatants? It had to make up a term because they didn't come off the battlefield. They didn't wear uniforms. Don't you remember? What are you talking about? Off a battlefield? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? The answer to all the above, of course, is yes. Jesus God, these people are sick. And the punks who continue to vote for these people. Damn you, Republicans. Damn you, ignorant punks. Oh, well. All right, phone calls. Do you want to check in? 800-989-1480. That's the number. Let's start with James, who's calling from Victorville, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. I hope you and Molly are feeling better.
A little better, yeah.
Okay, the thing about Cinderella, that's a perfect name for her because it's got two actual reasons. One, the reason is because she's, you know, what she does to the truth.
What? James, I'm sorry, James, we lost you. I guess you hit a bad cell. Try back in. I'll put you back on. Rich is calling from Cincinnati, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rich. Hey, Rich. Okay, well, let's just not take any phone calls then. How's that? Rich, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Mike.
Oh, there you are.
Hey, I wanted to say I totally agree with you. And it might have been the art of war you were quoting. Is that correct?
Say it again?
It might have been the art of war you were quoting earlier about defeating your enemy.
Yeah, that'll work.
But what I wanted to talk about was Republicans, and I know a few of them, and I know how they think. I know Steve Chabot. They see that bipartisanship stuff, the kumbaya stuff, as a sign of weakness that they can exploit.
Uh-huh.
And they're pumped, and they, like you said, the only thing they understand is strength. And the Democrats have always made, even 2 years ago when they came in, they make a serious mistake of bringing everybody together to supposedly get legislation passed. How much legislation did Reid and Pelosi get passed using that, you know, that tactic to bringing everybody together in the spirit of bipartisanship? They didn't get anything done.
Nothing.
And right. that's what's going to happen this time. They need to throw Joe Lieberman out. They need to make an example of him, and they need to start acting like and operating from a position of strength like the Republicans do.
Yeah, I agree with that, Rich. My bottom line is, first of all, there shouldn't be any political parties. It's nonsense. Even the framers of the Constitution tried to warn us about that. Because then it becomes a football game, a zero-sum game, a winner-take-all game. That's the way it's always been, except when you get to these dumbass Democrats. I don't get this. As long as we're going to have a two-party system, and one of the parties lies, cheats, steals, does anything it can, Republicans, to retain power when the rest of the country does not want them. Over and over again, goddammit, the American people have said, we don't want you, Republicans, in any kind of position of power. So the Republicans wind up stealing, lying, cheating to retain power. Until finally, the country goes berserk and votes in with a large enough majority that it can't be stolen, a Democratic president, Democratic Senate, and Democratic House. But this idea of working with Republicans is a joke. Maybe it could have been done 50 years ago, but it certainly can't be done now. Republicans are like rabid dogs. They need to be put away someplace until they die a natural death. Just get them out of our political system. That's like these people who claim to be Christians who are polluting everything with their hate. They need to be caged, literally caged, and let the people who really want to follow the teachings of Christ come to the fore. Because those people have been pushed to the back. The people that believe in love and compassion and a simple message of treating other people the way you want to be treated. Those people don't exist in the forefront of the Christian faith these days. Not the ones that get all the attention. It's these right-wing Christ murderers who spit on the body of Jesus. It's awful. So the right-wing fundamentalist religious freaks and the right-wing fundamentalist political freaks, both groups, should be just gotten rid of. They've done nothing for the country, nothing for individuals, nothing for children, nothing for married people, nothing for anybody. They're poison. They're just absolutely poison. And everybody in the country knows this. This is why the bastards can't win an election anymore. They can't do it. They have to steal, lie, cheat, cage, suppress, come up with stuff like Help America Vote Act. Anything. Because they know America hates them. The majority of Americans. There's still a lot of really screwballs out there who, oh, Mike, you don't have 20 million listeners a week like Rush. Phone calls when we come back. Mike Malloy here on Nova M.
You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing, propaganda.
yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's More of Mike Malloy.
Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you, I and the bees. I'm wrestling with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. That tough is enough.
21 past the hour. You're listening to Nova M Radio, the Malloy program. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. We have a couple open lines, so if you want to join in the fun or frivolity, do it now. All right? James is called. Oh, there we got James back. Victorville, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah. The other reason about calling her Spinderella is because when you're high on methamphetamine, it's called getting spinning.
It's called what?
Spinning or getting spun.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, and then one other thing might give you a chuckle. The Freepers are calling for a boycott of Fox News because what they said about Sarah Palin. Yeah, talk about eating your own, but I say chum the waters, toss them overboard, and let them go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sick of the cowardice. I'm sick of the deception. I'm sick of the unethical behavior of these punks. I'm sick of the immorality, just all the ugliness. And, you know, when somebody suggests to me, well, it's time to get over it and move on and make nice to these people, that's why I say, yeah, maybe 20, 30 years. In the meantime, they have to be eliminated. And, I believe that because they're destroying our country. They are absolutely destroying the country.
I agree. Well, you have to have a good night.
All right.
Keep it going.
Thanks, James. Appreciate you checking in. Roger is calling from Houston, listening on the Internet. Roger, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I've got 2 points, and thank you. Thank you for bringing up this darn bipartisanship thing. You know, I'll concede that a little bit of that talk is politically correct, but I got 2 words, Sensenbrenner and filibusters.
Yeah, really.
A few years ago, it was your wonderful colleague, I'm glad y'all are together again, Randy, that, clued me into the C-SPAN videos, and I found them on YouTube the other night when Sensenbrenner gavel closed, just ramrodded the Republican power right over John Conyers and the Democrats who were trying to do something that was perfectly legal.
Right.
And then the filibusters, the Republican use of filibusters. I mean, what they've done in the last 2 years is record-setting, and nobody's even mentioning that when they talk about these news pundits, these talking heads talking about bipartisanship.
Right.
And what about when they threatened us when we were the minority, and they threatened us with the nuclear option?
That's right. That's
and
right.
And totally cowed the Democrats, and now that's our position. We've got the president in power in our party, and so we're aligned on the side of power. And I say we should hold that. Yes, don't worry about the count of senators, whether it's 55, 57, whatever. Hold that nuclear option threat over their heads and cow those bastards the same way they did us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do believe, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a realignment of political power in this country, that America is starting to wake up to what the vileness, the stink of Republicans and conservatism, and that we're not going to go back. I realize a lot of people say, well, you know, it shifts, the pendulum shifts here and it shifts there, but I think people have finally awakened to the horror of these bastards. So in the meantime, there should be no power sharing. There should be no reaching across the aisle. There should be no bipartisanship. It should be slap them down. Use whatever procedure is necessary in the House and the Senate. Make them sit there and shut up until they all get bored and go home. Don't seek re-election. And then let the Democrats become the new conservative party, which is what they are. What the Democrats are today is a form of conservatism. And let there be begin a new liberal party that is called just that, the liberals. And the Democrats. And
man, I don't know what they're talking about bipartisan. It's been a bad, horrible 8 years, and we've got a lot of Republican damage to undo. And when you say vileness, Mike, I think that was the best best thing served up by the Obama advantage was he stripped away the mushheads in the middle who were sort of the mathematical cover for that Republican base, mm-hmm. and they imploded down to that vile, hateful core that everybody got to see.
Right. And that's what the Republican Party is. When they talk about their base, that is the Republican Party. That's it.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Roger. I appreciate it. Take care. All right. We have a break. I was just ready to take Shane. Stay there. We'll get you on the comeback. We have to do a break here. You know, it's that same thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me a third time, I'm coming after you with a baseball bat. And it's going to be teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the pavement. And I've had enough of it. I've had enough of this. I watched two presidential elections stolen by these pigs. Ain't going to happen again. It is not going to happen again.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. The Malloy Program on Nova AM. Back to your phone calls. Mark is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good, actually.
Good.
Considering the election and all, it's a good time to be a Democrat, I guess, or a liberal. Just was questioning. What's your take on, I know you mentioned that these right-wing mouthpieces need to go away. How can we accomplish that? Any suggestions? I mean, what as citizens? I mean, I know that little puke Martin, chairman of the SEC, is going to be gone. But regulation, breaking up the monopolies, how do we, as citizens, how can we go about hastening that or letting people know that that's what we want?
I think people need to let the lawmakers or the rulemakers understand that we have a cancer on the body of this country, and it is in the form of right-wing hate radio. I guess by not buying the products advertised on these programs, although that doesn't really seem to work, notifying the advertisers, trying to reinstall the fairness doctrine, which means that all of these radio stations that are wall-to-wall right-wing garbage would be forced to change their lineup, which means that some of these pukes would be fired. I'm not sure how to do it. Once you let something like this happen, it's pretty hard to fix it short of doing things that probably wouldn't be the best thing to do. So I'm not sure how to do it, except maybe just stop listening to them, stop talking about
them. Well, I don't listen to them. I can't listen to them long enough to find out they're advertisers, but I just switch over every once in a while when there's a commercial to try to gauge what they're saying, and I can't stay on it long enough to even find out. You know, I mean, it's just, it's vitriol, and it's sad that there's a lot of folks that listen to that and take it for a gospel. It's just, it's crazy. But I'm glad you're here.
All right, thanks, Mark. I'm glad you're here too. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. No, we let this. Yeah, that does. You know, Mark raises an interesting question: how to rid your house of cockroaches once it becomes full of cockroaches. I guess you fumigate and fumigate and fumigate until you get so frustrated, and then you wind up burning the house down. It gets rid of the cockroaches, but then you don't have any place to live. So, you know, I don't know exactly what to do. I can identify the problem, just like most of us can identify a problem. Pick a problem. We've got so many in this country right now. How to fix it requires a cooperative effort among people who care. Republicans don't care. Conservatives don't care. They don't care about a goddamn thing. All they want to do is have their little rapture and go off to meet their bloody Jesus, who really doesn't exist, but they don't, you know, they don't care whether they exist or not. I don't know how to get rid of them. I don't know how to shut them off. They have weaseled their way. The only way it'll happen is when the program directors, or not the program directors necessarily, because they don't have a whole lot of power anymore. So many stations now are part of a syndication, or the programming comes from a thousand miles away. When the syndicators finally realize that America has had its guts full of this poison and starts finding and developing and hiring liberal or progressive or talk show hosts, men and women with a point of view that is not so full of lies and deception and anti-Americanism and pro-death and pro-war and pro-murder, which is what all these right-wingers are, it can be done. It can be done very easily when the people in positions of power who decide what kind of programming will go on their network, that they will put in their syndicating stable, in the case there still are program directors left who run maybe one radio station or two or three. And when those people realize that America has left this vile hate far behind and have moved on, then maybe it'll change. Maybe it'll change. This is a funny. Kathy sent this to me. It comes from Robert Perry at Consortium News. The idea of transforming modern republicanism into some less partisan form might be like trying to train a boa constrictor which fork to use at the dinner table. Yeah, that is so true. You know, I could show you reams of hate mail. Matter of fact, we're about to put up a new video maybe tomorrow with some of the hate mail from morons who I guess think they're being cool or threatening or something when they write to me. And every single one of them is a coward. Every single one of them, if we met on the street, would just wet his pants and run the other direction. And yet they put these hate mails or emails out. They support these right-wing talkers. And in the final analysis, they're working against their own lives. They're trying to kill themselves. They are backing people who advocate politicians who put into place policies that kill the right-wingers and their children and their puppies and their grandchildren. These people put into position policies that give them cancer and heart disease and brain tumors. They support politicians who will take their sons and daughters and make them go die for the oil companies, go get half their heads blown off for corporate America, and then they stand back on their asses and say it's patriotism? I don't know how you reach people like that. My feeling is you don't. That somehow they have to just evolve or devolve out of the gene pool. People who consistently use whatever political process is available to work against their own best interest are crazy. These are crazy people. Crazy people. So how do you, and I'm no offense to the mentally impaired. I mean, these are people who are crazy and don't know they're crazy and continue to have an effect on the rest of us. They should be pointed out, shunted aside, ignored, signs hung around their necks, like during the Cultural Revolution, put dunce caps on them. Send them to re-education camps. I don't know. I have no idea. But as far as I'm concerned, screw them. No quarter, none given, none asked. Not now, not ever. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on the internet. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, you know, you're so right about how it's so funny how all of a sudden Republicans are talking about.
Isn't that a scream?
But it always happens. And I go along with a lot of what you say, including that the whole devolve or evolve, if you can change something. The problem is it's the problem's on both sides, I'm afraid, Mike. I mean, they've been allowed to do that. How many years have they been playing that little game? How long did they have the Senate and the House, and you know, and they were talking about the nuclear option, and then in 2006, when the Dems get in there, they do nothing. And so, if you're right that they get away with it, but they're allowed to get away with it. They've been enabled to get away with it. And the way I look at it, what we're not seeing is this is a form of civil war going on, and it's been going on for quite some time. And one side is organized and has generals and officers and a blueprint and war plans and soldiers. That's who the Palin folks are. That's why the Palin folks are fine with her unwed daughter being pregnant, because they understand that they're soldiers in a war.
Right.
And the other side thinks maybe they have a cold or a backache or something. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And so what I really get upset about is that we do not have an opposition that can organize us. I mean, what you are saying is just so right on about something should be done about that. They should be thrown off the boat or reeducated. Well, who's going to do that?
Well,
Here's the problem. If
I can interrupt, because I do believe that there are some organizers, there are some people around Obama who understand. And again, I don't agree with more than half, perhaps, of Obama's programs. But there are people around him who understand that politics in these times, in this country, with Republicans on the loose, is a zero-sum game. And therefore, Republicans have to be marginalized. They have to be eliminated. You know, everybody made a joke about Barack Obama being a community organizer. And look at the result of the joke they tried to make. He community organized them right out of the White House, the Senate, and the House. And I think that's going to continue. Maybe this election has made me an optimist. I don't know. And if I am, I don't know why I am. But I have a sense that, you know, you can only poison the well so long before the villagers come out and hang your ass. Because they say, look, you've been poisoning the well for years now. My children are sick. My husband dead. My wife is dead. Yada, yada, yada. Now it's your turn. And they take them out and they string them up from the nearest a date palm. And that's the end of it. So we may be at that point. Before the hour, thanks to the usual gang of free thinkers, reprobates, and anarchists who contributed some way to this program tonight. Their names, if you are keeping track, are Kathy Bay, Bruce Enberg, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wiff, Sharon Gordy, Ben Birch, and Ian Huff. Back to your phone calls. Marge is calling from the blue state of Indiana. Hey, Marge.
How about those apples? How y'all doing?
I'm doing fine. How many times did you go vote? I heard you voted about 34 times in order to swing it to Obama.
You weren't going to tell anybody.
Well, okay.
You know, I'm surprised you don't recognize your own preaching on how to keep these people in line. You've been talking for how many years now about it takes a grassroots effort.
Yeah.
Well, we grassrooted the whole damn crowd out of the White House, That's... and we got to just keep on doing that.
Yeah, the, well, that's...
We got to hold their feet to the fire and their ass, too, if they don't want to do what they're supposed to do.
I hear you. That, I think I was trying to say that, but you are much more succinct and to the point than I. Yeah, organize them right out of existence. Although I do like the idea of hanging them from the nearest date palm.
Well, all right. Do they have any branches in a date palm tree? I don't know that much about trees.
Well, no, they're just. I was using the analogy of poisoning the well, which made me think of a village, which made me think of some godforsaken place in the Middle East struggling to exist, which made me think of date palms.
I'm picking nits. You know, yeah. For 8 years I've been watching this guy walk from the White House to the helicopter and taking note of his bow legs.
Right.
And now, as they walk down the colonnade today, God love them, I think Obama's got a tendency to be pigeon-toed.
Well, he was a good 2 or 3 inches taller than the white guy.
Well, that too, you know. But he's not used to the service. He got out. It wasn't a limousine he sent for him. They used an SUV of some kind. And when Michelle got out of the car, he closed the door himself. And Barack, you're going to be the president. Other people do that stuff for you.
Yeah. Well, he also held the door for his wife, which is something you don't see too often from politicians or from anybody really anymore.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
The main reason I called though. I don't know what time is what night is Frontline on in your neighborhood.
I don't know. Whenever it is, though, I'm usually working. But we usually
you need a VCR alert or whatever they use to record things nowadays with this modern technology.
A VCR? What would?
Come on, don't be snotty. I know I'm electronically challenged, but be nice.
Okay. No, we never get to see it live or when it's broadcast at the time it's broadcast. But yeah, we occasionally will pick it up then at midnight.
Well, there's a new documentary out, and I was going to tell you about that, but in and of itself, called BoogeymanFilm.com.
Yeah.
Got its own website.
Yeah.
I don't know who did it, but Stefan somebody.
BoogeymanFilm.com?
Yeah, is the website for the documentary.
Okay.
But it's the life and times of our good old friend Lee Atwater.
Oh, it's a real movie that's coming to a theater near you soon. They may have a teaser or a trailer or...
I don't know what it is that they're going to have on there, but, you know, Frontline's doing the show, and what the title says in my TV guide is that it's Boogeyman.
Well,
and it says Lee Atwater, and it's going to be on tomorrow night, so...
Oh, yeah?
I don't know.
So it's probably a documentary about this movie, but it's a movie coming out, Marge, and we plan on we can go on the weekends. We plan on seeing the movie because Lee Atwater was a real poisonous influence. On
help my aging memory. Didn't he have a repentant deathbed something?
He
or other?
Did. He did. He developed a brain tumor that eventually killed him, and on his deathbed, maybe 3 or 4 days before. He died. He apologized. He tried to make amends. He said that he knew what he had done to the American political system. He said he was embarrassed, ashamed, wished he could take it back. But, of course, it was too late. Deathbed confessions are great, I guess, for something. I don't know for what.
Wasn't there some... Did somebody else put the words in his mouth or whatever?
No,
to the effect that it's better one of them die than one of theirs?
No, I think he just realized... there's nothing focuses the mind, I've heard, as quickly as a death sentence. And although we all have a death sentence, we just pretend like we don't. But when when you're given a time certain when you're going to check off this earthly coil, it does focus the mind, I've been told. And so I'm sure that's what happened to Lee Atwater. All of a sudden, he realized what he had done and how ashamed he should be. And on the off chance, Lee Atwater was a Southern...
that was it. Yeah, that was it. In case there was, he didn't believe in anything, but just in case.
Just in case.
He was going to cover all the bases.
He wanted to get right with this white Southern deity that seems to have so much influence on these people. I don't know if anybody else will be able to follow the same blueprint that Lee Atwater left out there. I'm sure Karl Rove.
Well, there's Newt Gingrich that's hovering around in the bushes now that they're talking about 2012.
Yeah, well, Gingrich is offering himself. He's offering
himself as what?
As to be the leader of the and reconstitute the Republican Party because he was so good at it the first time.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Tom DeLay is saying that the Democrats are going to overreach, and there stands Newt with his thesaurus and ready to give all these different. Choose one from column A and one from column B.
Yeah, the word list and Tom DeLay. Someday Tom DeLay is going to trip over one of his old bug spray cans and it's going to go off and he's going to be in a room and he's going to fall down and knock himself cold. And by the time they find him, he'll be deader than a doornail. That would
one can only hope.
That would be the justice for Tom DeLay, except for one thing. His legs, he would be on his back and his legs would still be twitching. Hey, I got to go.
Take care.
All right, Marge, you take care, too. Oh, my God. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night, Two Seekers. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.